I am the prophet of this new age. I claim a miracle in America. A lot of shadow.
Hello and welcome to the Fictitious, the podcast where a band gives you advice. We are the Fictitious Dishes.
Yay!
Hooray!
Well, it's three of the Fictitious Dishes, as usual.
As we've established, the space-time continuum cannot handle all four of us on a microphone at the same time.
It can't. It would rip apart. Reality as we know it would disintegrate even more than it already has.
The simulation would reboot.
But
the Hoobastank would reboot.
It'd be a fresh Hoobastank for all of you to smell.
Call back to a previous conversation we were having, that
our listeners were not a part of.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Anyway, so the dishes that you have here are me. I call myself. I'm Liz. I also have
Maggie. I play the drums. Those skins, as I like to say.
She hits them hard. And I'm Taryn. I play guitar and I sing.
Yes, she does. She doesn't like to admit it.
The vast majority of the singing.
But she does most of the vocal work. Box.
All right, we've all said it now.
Our awesome mystic bass player, Jackie, is not here.
She's in Prague.
She's in Prague.
No big deal.
Where she has a favorite restaurant. she is in Prague for work.
It's a special time of her life, you know. She's going through a lot of work things. She's just been traveling to Prague a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll be back someday, and one of the three of us will not be, because that's how it works. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got some great advice to dole out. As usual, none of us have any training in, like counseling or, like, therapy. Like, there's no reason...
Rational thought.
Yeah, there's no reason you should be getting advice from us, but it's still really cool if you want to. It's a lot of fun.
It makes us feel good about ourselves.
So if you would like to get advice from us, send us an email at thefictitiousdishes@gmail.com. That's our email address. Fictitious is a weird word. Look it up.
It's also a real word.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Fictitious.
Think about that for a minute.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Jumbo shrimp. It's one of those things.
Explain that with your logic.
All right. Let's dive in. I think Taryn was going to start us off.
Yeah, so today, Dish Nation, we're going to kick this podcast off with a question for you. Now, there's
with
no
accompanying social media poll.
I mean, there's no trick to it. Just gut reaction. Don't think about it. Just answer. Say it out loud in your car or at the gym or in a crowded subway, wherever be. Swedish meatballs or shepherd's pie?
I would go shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
All three of us, shepherd's pie. I don't want that to color your own response.
Said their answers.
If you go to our Facebook page, though, and maybe our Twitter, maybe we'll get our Twitter going a little better. You can answer the poll yourself. Well, I'll do my best to make sure that this poll is up by the time the podcast.
We should just
with
put
any
poll,
luck, yeah,
no,
it should
no,
precede
do
the
poll
podcast.
First, and people have no fucking idea, and then they'll listen in. They'll be like, "I get it now."
Oh, I get it now.
But that is an actual request for advice that someone asked on Craigslist, correct?
Yeah, I didn't read the rest of the comments. The title was Swedish meatballs or shepherd's pie, and I thought, what more is there to say on the subject? Just pick one.
Just pick one. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you all have made your decision, and I hope you're happy with it.
I picked shepherd's pie because you can reasonably make a vegetarian version.
It seems less labor-intensive, like having to roll all the meat of a meatball, but I'll admit I haven't made a meatball ever in my life. Liz, you make meatballs.
I do. I've never made Swedish meatballs. I'm not 100% sure what the difference is.
I think you put the little Swedish fish in Swedish meatballs.
Definitely.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's the only thing that makes
sense.
Or
you have to get someone from IKEA to bless them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. I've made regular old Italian meatballs, and they're not that hard to make.
Mm. I'm also forgetting with shepherd's pie, you have to use, like, pastry.
Shepherd's pie
yeah,
is... No, shepherd's... Shepherd's... Well, the way I've Puff always pastry. Made shepherd's pie is just with a layer of mashed potatoes.
That's
or,
true.
Or you can do pulsated cauliflower on top.
Oh.
Hashtag keto.
Hashtag keto. Hashtag paleo.
Hashtag
boring.
Hashtag it's not that good.
So for Mother's Day, I had lunch at IKEA because IKEA is like one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah.
Those veggie meatballs they have now are legit.
You know, they've been calling my name the last few times I've been, but I always have to go to Lowe's or something afterwards, so I don't want them to get soggy in my car. But I've never even eaten at IKEA. Can you believe that?
It's a good deal.
I've never eaten at IKEA.
I was having this conversation at work the other day about how, like, IKEA is, like, a great place to eat. Like, we go there just to eat.
I know that.
Wasn't there a whole scandal, though, because they had, like, horse meat in their stuff?
But if you're a vegetarian, we're safe.
I don't really understand why if you eat meat, if it comes from one animal versus another. Oh, see,
I thought it was like maybe getting into stuff they were claiming was vegetarian or something.
No. This was way before they even had the vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
The horse meat scandal. That was like
2011. Having never eaten there, I didn't really investigate the scandal very closely. Didn't seem like something that would affect my life.
I have a question because I don't have children, but you both do. Like, how tempted are you to just dump your kids over at Smorgland or whatever, and then especially the IKEA here, there's like a bar in that shopping center, and just go like have a quick drink for half an hour.
Okay,
and
I definitely wouldn't leave the IKEA premises with my child in the small land, but we have been known to put him in there and then go upstairs and drink a coffee in the cafe.
Yeah, because I'd be hitting that place hard if I had a kid.
Free daycare.
I don't go to IKEA that much.
Well, maybe you should.
I didn't realize this was a thing. You guys are opening my mind to some new options.
Yeah, every time Hugh and I go there, we're like, oh, we should drop someone off over in Smorgland or whatever. It's got some letter with an extra bit on top of it. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Just to leave them in Smorgland.
Well, my favorite thing is when you hear over the speakers, well, the parents of Jeffrey, please come to Smorgland. And then Jeffrey's parents get paged a couple of times. You know they're gone.
Oh, yeah.
They're gone. Long gone. They're halfway to Mexico by this time.
And now you know why Jeffrey was left there.
Yeah.
Poor Jeffrey.
Poor kid.
Oh, he's probably a little shit.
I mean, they all are.
He'll be happy at IKEA. He'll be happy. They'll give him a stripy shirt and a name tag. Yeah, jump on the beds when the lights go out. Sounds like fun. We should all be as lucky as Jeffrey.
I think that wraps it up. Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
All right, thanks.
You're going next. Okay, Liz just whispered.
I can edit it out. But now I'm going to leave it in.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to leave it in. Sorry, I'm trying to find the right spot for our microphone. So if you've heard some like rustling, it's me moving the microphone around. But I think we found a good spot. I think we're in a good spot.
Have we reached
Terry Gross levels?
I mean, never. But
she's so smooth.
We're a lot closer than we were.
Should we do our NPR impressions again?
No. I'm Lakshmi Singh.
Sylvia Poggioli.
I'm Dave Mattingly. All right, that's enough.
And this is Marketplace. Okay. All right. Our next one is an honest to God reader email. It's actually, so our last pod, which was with the Rythers, God, which was like a while ago, we got an email that it contained three separate questions from a few different readers. We decided to spread them out a little bit. So these ones are from that same one, to be fair. We've still only gotten one email from a reader, a listener.
A reader.
I mean, they read the posts.
I guess they're a writer because they write the questions.
Yeah. Reading, writing,
multi-talented,
using all of our senses.
You guys are great.
So you know, guys, girls,
folks,
men
folks
and women.
Folks is the inclusive term.
Please,
folks,
please. You know, write in to us. So this one, as we said, you can use a synonym. You don't have to use your real name.
Pseudonym.
But use as many synonyms as you like.
What's a synonym for Elizabeth?
It's been a long.
Elizabeth.
Yeah,
that's more of a homonym.
You can use a pseudonym. Like this person did. This question comes from Brutus Fluftowski. And it says, adults displaying stuffed animals, not dolls, in their home when there are no children in the home. Is that a yay or a nay?
So I think the most interesting thing about this question is the qualifier, not dolls.
Like, dolls are somehow permissible.
Well, because I have been into those homes where people have, like,
the China
child dolls set up. And I think that is weird. than stuffed animals. Okay. So I'm just saying, I'm
when you say child dolls, do you mean like antique China dolls? Do you what dolls I mean, the size of a child? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about those American Girl dolls or like dolls that come in different costumes and people put them in like China display cabinets. So they're not the size of a real child, but they like they have the eyes and they're supposed to look lifelike and like they're spending not stuffed animal money on these things. They're spending real money and possibly buying them from like catalogs and stuff like that. Whereas a stuffed animal, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the person that it's some kind of childhood relic that they keep around for sentimental reasons.
Souvenir or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Depending on how many, because they didn't so it's plural, stuffed animals.
Yeah, it's stuffed animals in their home when there's no children.
Displaying. Yeah. Also, there's you can infer some amount of reverence being paid to these.
But you can display a stuffed animal in your made bed.
I'm going to admit, I'm a little bit of a snob. I will think a little less of your decorating choices if I walk in and you're, like, for example, if you've got, like a display cabinet full of Beanie Babies, I'm going to be like, oh, you got taken for a ride. In the late 90s.
You're going to introduce your pyramid scheme 20 minutes in.
So, I'll be a little judgy, but why the hell do you want to impress me for? I'm not a person worth impressing. Do what you want. I always remember in college, I did have this favorite stuffed animal, my Fievel, which I actually still have and I really need to get rid of.
There are no cats in America.
I was a huge American Tail fan, and when I was
Me too.
It's the first Christmas present I actually remember getting. I was 5 years old and my parents gave
was
me a big stuffed
Fievel. Fievel or Fievel Goes West?
Fievel. Okay. Fievel. And I loved it, and he was my favorite. And I always, even when I got rid of all my other stuffed animals, I still held on to Fievel. But when time to go to college, I was like, well, I can't bring Fievel. Everyone's going to be like, what is this girl's deal? I get to college and like every friggin' girl on my floor has like a million teddy bears on their beds and stuff. So then after Thanksgiving break, Fievel did come to my dorm room. But
I think that's okay. Like and one childhood toy that you have a little bit of attachment to that you're obviously fine going to school without it. Like it's not some kind of emotional crutch. And I don't know. I guess I was very generous when I read this question about being on display. You're envisioning like a cabinet.
That's what I was sort of envisioning. Like one, as you said, like one like little stray teddy bear or something is fine. But I'm imagining people who they're sort of dominant.
Have you seen the people where like the whole back of their car? Their whole back of their car is all stuffed animals, like, in a weird display, or, like, the whole dashboard. Well, like, that's fucking weird.
Because I was going to ask about, like, remember the Garfield suction cups that you could put? Like, what about that? You know, like, that's quirky.
One of those is okay, but it's, like, it's more about the quantity.
It's quantity.
It's, like, the more you have of stuffed animals in a pub, you know, in like a general area where people will see it, the weirder you probably are.
So I'm going to sign myself up for some Liz judgment here. What about my pillow with the dog on it?
Oh, I love that pillow. It's great.
It's not stuffed animal territory. No. It is. It's whimsical.
It's to the listeners, because podcasting is a audio format. Taryn's got a little throw pillow that is like embroidered with a dog in like a Napoleon military uniform.
It's amazing.
Like
it's
from great. Labyrinth.
And it's great.
Yeah. It was a lovely gift from the Jays. But I just, that's not crossing the line.
No, and even if you had, like, one or two little stuffed dogs out here or something. Okay, that's fine. My grandmother used to have a little teddy bear in, like, a chair that she used to have in her house. Didn't think much of it. But I have been to people's... I guess I keep coming back to the Beanie Babies.
You have a real problem with Beanie Babies, Liz.
Here's the thing. I worked in... I've probably mentioned this before on the podcast. I worked in a store. It was kind of like a convenience store when I was in high school, and we sold
the bird incident.
The bird incident. I remember. Talked about the bird incident. We used to sell Beanie Babies, and there was a few women. They were generally kind of middle aged to older, and they were obsessed with the Beanie Babies. And you could just tell that they sat home watching a lot of Home Shopping Network QVC, where they used to hawk those things, and they used to tell you they would be worth a lot of money someday. And we used to have to put them aside. Oh my God, they would come in. They would ask, "When are you getting XYZ Beanie Baby?" We would look at the order. We'd have to put them aside behind the counter for these people.
So you've got some trauma.
And they had it's Beanie not baby trauma. It's judgment. I was a teenager, and I was deeply judgment.
Maybe you're funneling your trauma into judgment. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
I just sort of felt kind of bad for them. Yeah. And I also just imagined that there was they had so many. I'm like, where are these things? And once in a while you would go into someone's house and they would have like a friggin' curio cabinet full of Beanie Babies. Yeah. And I was just like, that's such a fucking waste of money. And yeah, again, it's mostly me being judgmental.
So then what's your max number? Max number of stuffed creatures per room.
In like, yeah.
Honestly, three. In your bedroom, have as many as you want. I don't care. But on display as part of your decor.
Maggie is shaking her head. No.
She disagrees.
As an adult. With no children in your home, if you have 40, 20, 15, 10 stuffed animals in your room.
That's a lot. That's right. That is a lot.
Yeah. But I just want to rewind for a second and just say, like, honestly, like, whatever floats your boat. Like, the question is yay or nay. The answer is yay. Like, do what you want. Live your life. But people are going
to
think you're strange.
That's to my point of, like, I think it's dumb, but why the hell do you care what I care?
Yeah.
If it's making you happy.
Liz, if that's what you're going to say, why are we doing this podcast?
Yeah. This podcast is about forcing our opinions on other people, whether they're choosing to listen to
it. The people who are choosing to listen care deeply about what we have to say and care deeply how much we judge them.
Thank you very much. Put the stuffed animals in a trash bag and give them to the Goodwill.
Yeah.
If you want to.
If not, that's fine too.
Also, just as a person with horrible dust allergies, like it just makes me think about that too. But,
when I was a child, I had a lot of stuffed animals, as most children do. And my mom has terrible dust allergies or whatever allergies, right? She sneezed a lot. And she had decided one day that I had too many stuffed animals. And so I think she let me keep three.
My mom.
And then I had to put them all in the trash bag and give them to the Goodwill. And looking back on it, I was like, that was fine. Like, it was kind of, I would hesitate to call it traumatic. It was a memorable event. But it was like, even as a kid, I was like, these don't spark joy.
I had
that seal that I got for selling 300 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. I didn't really work for that anyway. My mom sold all those cookies at work. Go ahead, put it in the bag.
I had a similar thing. I remember a day where my mom like made me get rid of the vast majority of my stuffed animals because she didn't like them.
Not for any reason.
Maybe we are uncovering some trauma here. Maybe I do have some things to discuss.
So let's unpack that. Why do you think your mom didn't like you having so many stuffed animals?
It was mostly allergies. It was because I had
yours or hers?
Both.
Okay.
And she just didn't like stuffed animals. She didn't she wouldn't buy them for me. She didn't like it when I bought them myself.
As a very small child, did you have like baby dolls or anything like that? Because some kids really like dolls and things like that when they're kids.
I had dolls, but I wasn't super into playing with them. I was very pushed into playing with them, and I didn't really like it. But that's definitely another story for another time.
So, yeah.
You're a girl, Elizabeth.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Do you think if you had like lots of mini monster trucks available to you, do you think your mom would have been okay with that?
No. I wouldn't have wanted monster trucks
just
either.
Stuffing.
Though. I don't remember what to be honest, I can't.
My Little Ponies, dude.
I desperately wanted My Little Ponies. I had one that I don't even think my mom got for me. I think I got it as a present. I really wanted more, and she didn't like them and didn't think it was a good toy and wouldn't get me anymore.
And is she making some kind of like value assessment based on like educational merit or?
I want to say yes, but it was a very difficult message to decipher.
Right.
Like I think one of the things she didn't like about My Little Ponies is because it was like purely just like a TV show that where they were trying to hawk toys.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, but for she was fine with like Barbies. She like bought me Barbies more than I wanted them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as a kid, I was like, I don't really see how Barbies, I get, yeah, Barbie doesn't have a TV show, but it's still just like a piece of cheap plastic.
It just sits around.
Like, I don't see what the difference is. But yeah, I think, yeah, she definitely didn't like things that were super like commercial, you know, like things that were like purely existed as a marketing gimmick. She was not a fan of,
sure.
Which I actually kind of respect, but, yeah, but I didn't get the My Little Ponies that I wanted.
So how many are we talking, Maggie? How many?
Had 20, 30 My Little Ponies.
And did they all have their own My Little Pony names? How active were, percentage, how many did you play with?
Sure, there were. The only story I remember about My Little Ponies is being told by my older sister that I would get into, an argument if someone would be like, oh, it's My Little Pony. And I would go, no, it's My Little Pony. I didn't really get that,
Aww.
Yeah. But I say older sister, but, we were half siblings. She's 20 years older than me. So it's I basically grew up an only child. So I was very selfish and greedy with my toys.
Quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is your right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that took us in some directions I was not expecting. I think, do we have anything else to say?
No.
I think we finished that one. Yeah. Close the book.
Yeah. So basically, decorate how you want, but people will judge you.
Rules to live by. Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next one is going to be Maggie.
Hi. This question from a Redditor called It's Not Hot asks, how much coffee is too much? I'm in a really stressful situation. I'm an uni student.
They're either Canadian or British. That's how they say it.
Student. I medicate with coffee as it numbs this feeling of sadness and uncertainty. How much is too much? Should I quit coffee and take supplements like vitamin D3, magnesium instead? So, obviously, the answer. Yes, you should take vitamins and probably not drink so much coffee. But
if you want to.
Yeah.
I do both, and I'm still friggin' tired all the time. So, I'm not sure vitamins are going to solve your problem, is my point.
I want to know what kind of coffee they're drinking that's numbing the feelings of sadness. Because I got to get my hands on that.
Coffee tends to up my anxiety level.
Yeah,
seriously. Doesn't stop me from drinking it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wonder what they're, I don't know.
I feel like we need more information. How much is too much? Okay, so baseline, how much is too much?
Too much?
More than two cups is too much.
I probably drink 2.5, close to 3 every day, and that's what I need.
Cups, measuring cups? Or mugs?
8 ounce.
8 ounce, yeah. I have a giant travel mug though it's a 32-ounce mug, but I don't fill it all the way. But my regular mug, which was 16, was not quite enough. So I'm probably drinking about 2.5 cups every day. I would say too much is when you start to not feel good. If you get a stomach ache or your hands are shaking, that's you drank too much, and don't drink that much next time.
Yeah.
2 cups is probably a good marker. 2 cups and try to stop. And try not to drink it after 3 if you have trouble sleeping.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can drink coffee all day long. As long as I have enough to eat. If I drink coffee on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, I'll get jitters. But if I have enough food in me, my regular breakfast, right, which is some oatmeal and Greek yogurt, not a big breakfast, but a protein fiber-packed breakfast. and I can just – I'll just drink coffee all day long. And I've done it where I'll just drink a cup of coffee and go right to bed. So, I don't
You're
even
insane.
Know.
You're insane.
I know.
You
I don't
special
even –
special magic coffee genes
I don't even
you.
Know how it works. I just love it.
I
drink it
too.
For the taste, man.
I do,
so
too.
Good.
It's very hard to say no when it's, everywhere. My old job, we didn't have, a coffee pot or anything. So it was very easy to just stay on track with, my one cup a day. And then my new office, we have a K-cup thing in my actual office, and then on our floor we have 2 pots always going all the time. And then there's always a reason to have a coffee meeting downstairs at one of the cafes, and so it's
have you been to that sandwich cafe?
No, not yet.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
But I very easily could drink coffee all day, and I have the type of personality where once I start, it's hard for me to stop.
Yeah.
So it's very much an exercise and self-discipline to cut myself off after 1 or 2 cups of coffee. The other day, I had 3 cups, and it didn't even really do anything for me because I was so tired, but I was I can't normally do 3. That would be very bad for me.
The coffee at my office is so strong. I don't know how they're brewing it, but it, if I have a cup of that, even after my breakfast, I will get shaky. I don't know how they're doing it. So I have a little like pour over thing. So I have a coffee ritual. So I make my coffee, and pour over I know is really hot right now, and like that's what the cool kids do, but that's what I've been using for a long time because I don't have counter space in like in my apartment, and I can take it to work and it doesn't require any like machinery. So I make the pour over coffee, and I really control like how strong it is. And then I make my tumbler of coffee, and like that's it for the day. And only on very rare occasions will I go and make another one. If I suspect it's gonna be a hard day, judge me. I'll save the grounds, and then like later in the day, make another weaker cup of coffee using the used grounds. That's what, and then I don't waste two filters.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't actually really like coffee. I require it. I didn't start drinking it till I was in my early 20s. I put a lot of sugar and a lot of milk in it.
Pity.
Yeah, but tea is just not strong enough, and I have to get up really early for work, and I'm not.
You do have to get up early.
I'm not a morning person at all, and it's been like shoving a square peg in a round hole for the 5 years that I've been working at my job, and then although I will say, knock on all the wood, my son has been sleeping better, but then for a long time when my son was not a very good sleeper, that added another wrinkle. That's why it was after I had him that I had to get the jumbo coffee cup.
Yeah.
You are always a tired person.
I'm a very tired person. My friends were very concerned when they found out I was having a baby. I'm a very tired person, and I remain a tired person. To this person's point, also with the vitamins, I take so many vitamins, including D3 and magnesium. I have not noticed any change in my energy level, so I don't...
Well, I'm going to say that also, because I went and I did the blood work at the doctor, and they were like, oh, your D3 is 8. It should be, like, 50. She's like, here, take some supplements or whatever. I was like, yeah, all right. Taking some supplements, I went back. And maybe I haven't done enough. My D3 was, like, 23. And I was like, no discernible difference. Like, I don't know how much of this is bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I did a whole blood test thing too, and I've had several more to see if any of it's working. Supposedly it's working. My doctor's like, oh, good, keep up with your supplements. Your levels are all good now. And like, I actually had too much D at one point. I had to lower the dosage.
Yeah. Too much of the D.
Doubling down on the D.
Don't we all wish we had that problem?
It's a good problem to have. No, when I was breastfeeding, they put you on a really high dosage of that. And that's when, and then when I stopped breastfeeding, they told me to cut back because I had too much. But anyway, that's... Neither here nor there.
So how much coffee is too much? When you feel like shit, stop drinking so much coffee.
Jittery.
Easier said than done, because I do this to myself on a regular basis.
It tastes so good.
When your tummy hurts or you're shitting funny or...
Heart palpitations.
Or your hands are shaking.
Great story. My child comes into the bathroom with me, as you all know. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone with small children, this happens. So I'm going pee after having drank some coffee. And Lincoln's like, what's that smell? I'm like, well, my pee smells like coffee. And he's like, why? Because I just drank some coffee. That's why.
I mean, that's a pretty satisfying, like, I drank it and now I smell like it, you know? Not all foods, you get that kind of, like, it's inside of me feeling, you know?
Oh, this is a total, has nothing to do with anything except that it involves coffee. I was driving up to LA one morning for work, and I spilled my coffee all over myself. And I spilled the coffee all over myself probably in Carlsbad. And I was like, there's a rest stop in the middle of Camp Pendleton. And I was like, I stopped there a lot, actually, because it's, you know, it takes almost close to an hour to get there. I usually have to go to the bathroom by that time. So I was like, I'll pull over there and get some paper towels and clean myself up. Oh no, that rest stop has changed to all blow hand blowers. There's no paper towels. Oh, I was so angry. I was just covered in coffee for like 45 minutes. And then I finally got there and they didn't have paper towels. So... That's
so you took your clothes off and dried them under the hand dryer?
I got an enormous wad of toilet paper and wet it, because, you know, that, like, disintegrates when you wet it. And cleaned myself up with that, but it was not...
And then it just leaves, like, toilet paper fluff.
It leaves
all
a little toilet
you.
Paper fluff. I still had coffee stains on my pants. I still reeked of coffee. My car reeked of coffee.
It probably smelled good.
It was, again, I don't like coffee.
Not yet. Keep spilling it on yourself. You'll learn to like it.
Like old coffee, though? Like... after a while, it gets like a very cat piss smell to it. So I would just imagine you rolling up to your like big deal.
Yeah, was it for work or were you going to meet a friend?
No, I was going for work.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was. No, it was not a fun morning.
Don't worry, I'm here now.
I think it was raining too. God, what a nightmare. Anyway,
life sucks and it's hard and bullshit like that happens all the time, and yet we just keep going through the drudgery of it all.
We do.
It's exhausting.
So drink as much coffee as you want.
Yeah. Fuck opinions. Fuck D3.
It's really, if you take nothing else away from this podcast, take that. We have a segment.
You need a sound effect for this segment.
Yeah, Taryn, tell us what we're doing.
Okay, so, dear listeners, a couple weeks ago at practice, Liz was, well, we were having a collective, these are the funny memes we've seen since we last spoke, because we're barely old people and we like to tell people about the memes that we've seen.
Let me tell you about a meme that I read.
Well, because we've all seen us share our favorite memes on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but it's also good to see the delight in your friend's face when they say, that was funny, you're right. And so
I need so much validation.
laughing at memes is kind of like a solitary endeavor, isn't it? It's nice to share them with your friends.
It's nice. So we were having a group meme review, the week's meme review. Maybe this is something we can start with the dishes.
Yeah, it's a segment.
Favorite memes. And we'll describe our memes.
Yeah, we'll describe the memes. We won't post or share them. We'll just describe them and how funny they were. So, and that's what we're going to start with right now.
It's great for a podcast.
So Liz was describing her favorite meme. Now, Liz, would you like to do it or would you like me to do it? I feel like you...
Okay, I'll try to... Well, this was just a tweet I saw, but it was a viral tweet. I'm sure a lot of people saw it. Well, because the person who said it is not someone I like follow, you know, it slid into my feed through various algorithms that share these things. So I forget the woman's name. Maybe we should post it just so she gets credit. But anyways, just some woman tweeted about, because apparently Diet Coke is making all these crazy flavors.
They're rivaling Oreo with the what the fuck is that going on in the flavor profile.
And she was just like, Diet Coke, stop mixing up your flavors. Your original flavor, chemicals, was perfect. And it made me laugh really hard.
We all had a good laugh when Liz told us about that meme. And then, as fate would have it, I was at my work, and sometimes they have free drinks and food and snacks for whatever reason that they have them. I don't know, but I get an email. Cookies in the kitchen! And of course, everybody stampedes to the kitchen. And what do I find in the kitchen but one of these weird flavored Cokes? So I snagged it for Liz and the rest of the band for all of us to try, because I don't want to drink a whole Coca-Cola, but I would have a little sip with my friends to judge it.
So this is actually a Coke Zero.
It's a Coke Zero.
Which I didn't think existed anymore because I thought my husband drank them all.
Oh.
A bucket of fish.
Nick went through like 3 years of being obsessed with Coke Zero. But it's an orange vanilla flavor.
Yeah, orange vanilla flavor, zero sugar, 12 fluid ounces. 355 milliliters a can, and here we go.
Some of that.
So we've got some of my finest shot glasses here, because we're not willing to commit.
Shot, nice save. Okay.
Turn on.
And for the record, I have never been a Diet Coke person. I know lots of people at least have a Diet Coke phase. I've always hated Diet Coke.
I've never been a Coke drinker.
This is Coke Zero, which is like a different animal than Diet Coke even.
I can't handle any fake sugars. I hate all of them. So I'm going to have like the tiniest sip of this ever and then probably die because I hate
this stuff. I don't think I've ever had a Coke Zero.
I don't like it. It originally came out and it was supposed to be like...
Oh, it's aspartame. I can taste that.
It was supposed to be like it tastes the same as Coke, but it's not. And it doesn't taste the same as Coke.
Aspartame. I've never heard it pronounced that way.
Aspartame. I was calling it aspartame and then my sister said aspartame.
Well, she would know. She's a fucking physician's assistant.
Well, she wasn't at the time, but I do think it's more fun to say aspartame than aspartame. So I'm sticking with aspartame. Sure. All right, cheers, friends.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers. Clink, clink, clink. Okay. Here we go. I gave Maggie the biggest weird pour of it.
That's Maggie's review.
Liked how you actually, like, shot the whole thing. You,
yeah,
like,
Liz, did a shooter. She did the whole thing.
Well, I only have, like, half a shot glass. I definitely could not drink an entire can of this.
It tastes like, you know when you go to the dentist and they polish your teeth with the flavored stuff? It tastes, it has that kind of cloying, artificial taste to it.
I was
going to
say, I feel like it tastes like some kind of hard candy that I've had in the past, but I cannot put my finger on it.
It doesn't taste good.
It's bad.
It
tastes more vanilla than orange.
I don't want more. It
smells like chemicals. It smells terrible.
Oh, Maggie even barely drank any.
No, yeah, she took a little sip. And I want to kill myself.
Yeah, it's not.
I just shot it.
No, you were like, put something in a shot glass.
Did any of you guys
over here is just going to shoot the whole damn thing. Whatever it be.
It's the Irish.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's racist against the Irish.
Yeah, well,
but accurate.
I'm glad I didn't spend money on that.
Okay, you need not apply.
I'm stoked. I'm gonna get to recycle the can for the California CRV without having to buy it though.
Yeah, that's like free 5 cents.
It's free 5 cents.
You just made 5 cents.
Yeah.
All right.
So
anyway,
one more question.
So yeah, so that was live action meme. A new segment on this podcast
where we act out memes that we want.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a good
meme
idea.
Meme inspired. We'll find another one for
it's
you
like
the next time.
LARPing, but
yeah,
alarming.
And
tell me the meme of the week. Don't share it. Tell it to me. Oh my God! You're still like hacking
still
it up.
I'm still like dying. The diet. I mean, the Coke Zero orange vanilla went into my trachea.
It's not good. All right, let's wrap this up.
Last question.
This is another one that we got from a listener.
You just live for that, don't you?
And this listener...
She said we could use her real first name.
...has used her real first name. So Beverly asks about sneeze etiquette. She says... I don't say bless you when people sneeze. I say excuse me immediately after my own sneezing. To that end, I typically don't say thank you if someone says bless you because I don't want to perpetuate the idea that it, thank you, should be said. Stop blessing my sneezes, people. Do you say bless you, excuse me, or some other phrases like sears? Also, I lied a little.
Is that a thing?
If I'm meeting someone new or simply don't want to come off as rude, I will say thank you. So, Beverly, I'm going to go ahead and say I agree with you.
It doesn't need to be said.
It doesn't need to be said, but maybe instead of not saying anything, you could instead say, that's not necessary. That would be more polite, right?
I disagree with you both. I like it when people say bless you. My husband refuses to, and it's like a real point of contention in our relationship.
See, in our household, we say salud because we don't like the bless you thing.
You're saying something.
Yeah. But then there's like the cutoff, right? Like if someone keeps sneezing then you're like, I'm done saying this.
I always say if someone sneezes twice, I will do a second bless you. If they sneeze a third time, I say now you're just looking for attention.
Yeah.
But you feel like you have to make the joke, right? That's the thing is like you can't just let it hang there. And then it's weird if it's like a stranger in an elevator or something, they sneeze and you say bless you twice and then they keep going and you're like, well, I don't really know this person well enough to make a joke about it.
Then I just get off at the next floor.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of not saying anything, maybe try to give them a really stern look of pure disdain.
Like, what is
wrong
with you?
How dare you upset the atmosphere in this perfect elevator?
But then, so she says excuse me. So I say excuse me after a burp. I don't say anything after a sneeze. And if no one says anything to me, then
we all go our separate
ways. We all go our separate ways.
I feel like saying excuse me after a sneeze is reasonable if you're saying excuse me after a burp because it's still kind of an involuntary...
Eruption.
Yeah, it's eruption. Rough, yeah.
I would definitely do that if I was in, like, a serious environment, you know? was like, oh, excuse me.
It's just bullshit manners, right? So it just, you know, I appreciate the recognition of it being a dumb manners thing that people do. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like there are other battles that you could pick. Like, sneezing, I get it. But I don't know. Like, how often are you in the room with someone where they go, achoo?
Terrence making intense eye contact.
Terrence just made a death glare at Maggie, for the record.
Where's my excuse you or bless you or whatever you want to say? Well, acknowledge my sneeze.
Acknowledge me.
I would hope that Beverly has communicated with the people she's close to in life to just say, you know, you don't ever have to say bless you to me again. I don't need it. And then she at least avoids it in her, like, most, you know, intimate circles.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you that's not necessary.
You can't expect, you know, people that you don't know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and it would be rude for you to be like, don't say that to me. You know, it would be strange.
It would be weird.
I would kind of love that if somebody, if I said bless you to someone and they're like, you don't need to bother.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, but be my best friend. Like, that's amazing.
If someone were to say bless you and you just looked at them and were like, it doesn't matter. that would be kind of awesome.
What about Gesundheit? I mean, that's not even really how you say the word, right? But that's just how, like, the cartoon said it. So that's how I say
no
it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know what that translates to into German.
It's German for bless you. I mean, that's basically what salute is, right? Salute is basically, it's Spanish for,
health.
Like, to your health, which is kind of like bless you.
But it's better because there's less religious connotations, so.
Yeah. I heard somewhere, this is probably totally, like, apocryphal, not true, but, like, that it came, bless you came from, like, way back in, like, medieval times. They used to think when you sneezed that, like, your soul came out
or your heart
like,
stopped or,
yeah,
so you
or
died
something
for,
like
that. A second.
So they said bless you to, like, get the evil spirits away or something. Something, yeah, crazy like that.
Yeah, that's where, I'm into that.
That's what I've heard.
I guess
as well.
I like it because it's just, you know, because sneezing is, like, a little sign of, like, not that you're sick necessarily, but, like,
Something's not right.
So
it's not pleasant.
It's just someone, like, acknowledging. It's, to me, it's almost like them saying, like, oh, feel better. I hope you're okay.
Yeah.
And bless you just happens to be the culturally accepted thing that we say.
Right.
That's why, yeah. That's why I like it when people say it, I guess. But.
Well, now we know if we don't say bless you to Liz, she's going to be upset with us. So.
Yeah, you know, I usually just say, I'll just say it. Like, unless, if it's, like, Hugh. And he's I'll say bless you once, and then if he keeps going, it turns into stop it.
Yeah.
And maybe you can scare the sneeze out of him, you know, right?
It's like hiccups.
Yeah.
I had a boss once who told us all that if you sneeze 3 times in a row, you got to go home. And which almost never happens. And then once I did it, and I looked at him, and I was like, and he was like, you're not going anywhere.
Liar.
And that was a big point of contention in the office. Everyone was on my
side. I quit
side.
That day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't work there anymore. Well, guys, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah.
In sum.
I'm going to use the rest of this Coke to clean
my toilet.
Do what you want.
Nothing matters. Orange vanilla Coke Zero is kind of gross.
Yeah, and don't listen to a word we've said.
No, we are not to be trusted.
But
relied upon.
Tell us about your favorite memes.
Please write in with your requestions, as we call them. Write in. It is thefictitiousdishes@gmail.com. We have an Instagram, thefictitiousdishes. We have a Twitter that's fictish.
I think it's fictish.
Think so.
Something like that.
I'll be real, we don't use our Twitter that much. We should be better about it. Maybe we'll try. And we have a Facebook page and a
LinkedIn and a Yelp and
that'd be funny if bands had Yelp review pages.
No.
It actually wouldn't. It would probably be a nightmare.
Apply on LinkedIn.
Shows coming up. We've got nothing to promote.
We don't.
Metal Yoga on May 25th, if this makes it out before then. If not, you missed it. Catch the next one.
I was recently on another podcast as a guest.
What?
Yeah. You
cheated on it? Round.
I've done it before. It was my second time being their royal correspondent.
Oh.
Oh, of course. Because of the baby.
As I've said, I have a true guilty pleasure. And I mean, I know that term guilty pleasure, people like don't like it. Because like, oh, you shouldn't feel guilty about liking anything. Like, liking the royal family is ridiculous and stupid, and I do, and so it's a true guilty pleasure.
Did your mom make you throw them out when you were younger?
But I love the royal family. I love following them. Archie
Middlebottom or something.
Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor is his full name.
Mountbatten?
That's their family name.
I'll give you some of the fun trivia that I actually didn't even get to say on that trivia. So Mountbatten is Prince Philip's family name, and they were originally the Battenbergs. They were German. And when they moved to England and they became English citizens, they decided they should this was like in between World War I and World War II, I think, when like the Germans were not popular. And so they decided they should anglicize their name. And so they said, what does Battenberg translate to? And it translates to Batten Hill. Berg means hill, I guess, and Batten's just a name. So they're like, well, it's Batten Hill. And they were like, let's make it Mountbatten.
Hill's too common, yeah.
Just hilarious to me. But anyway, yeah, I was on a podcast called Evening Booze Hour, and which is a fun little podcast that some of my friends do. One of my friends do. I consider the other girl a friend now as well. And
we're friends now.
Yeah, we're friends now. And yeah, so you guys can check that out if you want to hear more of me.
Oh, yeah.
They did shout out our podcast, though, so I feel like we should shout out theirs.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was promotional, guys. It wasn't cheating. Okay. It was promotional.
All right, you're forgiven.
Yeah, and then anyway, we'll be back at some point. I don't know when. This has become pretty sporadic, but we'll do our best, and we'll be back.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, listeners. Bye.